Hey, TV fans, it's another episode of TV Babble, the television podcast that takes you inside all the best on TV, whether you watch it on your tablet, your phone, computer, or shocker, an actual television set. I'm Jim Halterman, West Coast Bureau Chief of TV Guide Magazine, and we have a very special guest for this episode of TV Babble. To coincide with his October 18th return appearance on CBS's The Big Bang Theory, I sat down recently with TV legend Bob Newhart, who, before he was Sheldon Cooper's idol Professor Proton, had major TV hits in The Bob Newhart Show in the 1970s and Newhart in the 1980s. He's also appeared in contemporary films like Elf and Horrible Bosses, and of course has popped up on The Big Bang Theory more than a few times, even winning his first Emmy in 2013 for his guest role. I sat down with Newhart in his Los Angeles home to talk not only The Big Bang Theory, but how he went from doing comedy on records and on stage to becoming a bona fide TV star, as well as what else is left on his bucket list. So let's start babbling with Bob Newhart. Before we talk about The Big Bang Theory, I just want to know, do you watch a lot of television? There's so much on right now. What do you watch?
It's, you know, for me, there's so many channels. last night, my wife and I were watching Quincy.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I remember Quincy. Yeah,
and you don't know where to go anymore.
I know.
And then you hear about another one, and I go back. You know, when we were doing the Bob Newhart show, you had three networks. Well, you probably had two and a half networks at that time, and we used to do like Super Bowl numbers, you know, we do 42 shares. And now, I mean, now it, I guess a nine is a hit. You know?
It is. I do the ratings in the magazine.
Oh, you do.
But I look and I see how small the numbers are. Because when I was a kid, I used to track all the ratings. I used to look every week and see what the numbers were. And it'd be 30, 40 million and the shares would be huge. And now it's, you know, I think Big Bang usually gets 12 to 13 million, which is really high for now. Like most shows don't get that high. Most are like maybe between 6 and 8 if they're a hit.
If they're a hit.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. So I'm guessing you feel a little overwhelmed like I do, because I go to watch TV sometimes when it's not for work. And I was like, and I don't know where to start sometimes.
I know. And then you hear about the shows on different channels and I don't like Barry. I'd love to watch Barry, you know, cause I work with Jason. But there's just so much.
Yeah. I'm sure HBO would hook you up with a DVD or something if you haven't seen Barry yet. Because you probably know Henry Winkler well, don't you?
Oh, Henry, sure. Yeah, Henry was on the Bob Newhart show.
That's right, he was.
He was a crook.
He talked to me about that.
Before the Fonz, yeah.
Yeah, he told me about his, because I interviewed him for the magazine just before he won the Emmy. But he said he came to town and he got the Bob Newhart show and he got married to Tyler Moore pretty quick. And then the Fonz, I think, happened the next year and his whole life changed.
Yeah,
but he talked about being on the Bob Newhart show. That's crazy. Well, we'll get you hooked up
with
Barry.
I'm trying to think. I wish I could have thought of it, but I didn't know we were going to hit that area. But John Ritter was on.
That's right.
He was on the show. He was in the... It was wonderful. So many people... Lenny Anderson, Cagney and Lacey.
Tyne Daly? Or Sharon Gless?
Sharon Gless
worked a lot in that time. I remember seeing her on lots of different shows.
Sure.
That's what's fun for me when I catch the reruns on whatever
I'll
channel.
I'll tell you who was on Friends,
Lisa Kudrow.
She was on the blow off to Newhart. She was dating, or I guess she was married to one of the Daryls.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Okay.
And then I did a show, I guess it was Bob at Paramount, that I think lasted a year. And she was on it. She was, Lisa was Tom Poston's daughter.
Oh, wow.
And you knew then, you just knew she was going to be somebody.
Yeah.
She was... It just jumps out at you.
Yeah. So you probably could see that when you saw somebody come in for a guest spot. You could tell if they had that spark that would probably take them further.
I don't know what it is. I liken it to they hear the muse. That's all I can think of.
Wow. Well, I remember I was looking at your bio and just how you got started, because I wasn't even sure how your career got started. And it started doing audio, right? You were doing like audio comedy things?
Well, it was, yeah, the album, the comedy album, 1960, yeah, really started the career. Prior to that, I had done a syndicated radio show, which was a great proving ground as a writer. You know, you had to come up with something every day, and there was no, yeah, I don't feel like it. So, but it was a record album that brought me to the attention of people.
And when did television come into all that? Because I knew your albums were big, but then obviously somebody thought, let's put you on television.
Well, I did a show and a variety show in 62. Mm-hmm. The comedy album broke in 1960. And I always say it won a Peabody, an Emmy, and a pink slip from NBC, all in the same year. So,
that's show business, right?
And then the next one would have been in 72, which was the Bob Newhart show.
Wow. How did you segue from doing comedy to acting? Because you'd done some movies before the Bob Newhart show, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'd done Hell is for Heroes. I did, I think Catch 22 was before the TV show. Mm-hmm. I learned it by being bad. That's how you learn to do anything. I was I did an Alfred Hitchcock, and mm-hmm, and I wasn't very good at it. I wasn't in the 61 show, 61-62, called inventively the Bob Newhart show. We do a monologue, which I was very comfortable in. Then there'd be a guest star, Joe Stafford, someone like that. And then there'd be a sketch. And I'd be in the sketch. I wasn't very good in the sketches. I wasn't used to working with other actors and mm-hmm, their timing and their... I pictured them differently. And yeah, so I realized, if you want to hang around here for a while, you better learn how to do this,
So by the time you got to the Bob Newhart show, you knew what you were doing, obviously, and you had such a great cast around you.
Plus, stand-up comedians are observers of people. That's what we do. We watch people, mm-hmm, and that's a wonderful skill to have as an actor.
Yeah,
because you say, you'd see someone walking down the street, and they'd have kind of a funny walk, and you'd say, I got to remember the way that guy, well, that was funny. I may need that someday.
That's true.
John Cleese.
Yeah. But I was surprised when I looked at all the years you did the Bob Newhart show, and Newhart, you were nominated a lot, but you hadn't won an Emmy until The Big Bang Theory.
I had the feeling, and I guess it's been confirmed, the stand-ups haven't been really recognized. Jerry was never.
That's right.
I'm not sure if Roseanne was.
I feel like she's probably nominated. Maybe, yeah, I'd have to look.
It's he's good, but it's Bob doing Bob. And it's Jerry doing Jerry, and it's Roseanne doing Roseanne, and. But when it's somebody else's words and they're not your own, and you got to hit marks, and you have to react to other people, then it's acting.
When you were doing the series, either Bob Newhart or even Newhart, was it a grind for you, or did you actually like to work? Did you like to be there? And those shows ran a long time. That's a lot of work.
Well, I'll tell you a story. Tom Poston, he was married, and. She came to the first show, the Bob Newhart show, and we had lunch, and we all went to the cafeteria. So they're driving home. Tom told me the story, and she said to Tom, "Please don't tell me how hard you work, okay?" She said, "All you people did was laugh all day long." And that's what we did, and we left, and we had a good time. And It wasn't a killer show. It was it was a normal life. That's what I loved about it. It was you go in at 10 o'clock in the morning and you're maybe through 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and then on Friday you shoot it on tape, and it's a normal life. It's not those 16-hour one camera shows.
Right, right. Well, and I think that translated, because that's why I think why people love the show, because they could probably tell that you were all having fun.
Everybody, we all liked each other.
Wow. Well, when you started doing The Big Bang Theory, did you know the show well? Had you watched it, or did you kind of have to catch up on it the first time?
That happened. I knew Chuck Lorre, mm-hmm. and he was on Roseanne, and he was on the Radford lot, which is where we were, and he came to me a couple times and about doing various shows, and I said, well, we'll talk, but nothing ever came of it. So he came to me and he said, and this was in probably 2013, maybe.
Okay.
Something like that. And he said, okay. He said, I've come for my annual turn down. And I said, no, wait a minute. I said, I really enjoyed The Big Bang Theory. I think the cast is wonderful. I think the writing is extraordinary. And, I said, yeah, Chuck, I think I'd like to do one. He said, okay, let me start working on a script. They wrote the script, mm-hmm. for which I won an Emmy.
Which is amazing.
It's pretty good writing. and that's how that came about. I always said, I wanted to do it because I still had my fastball, although it was more like 45 miles an hour. It wasn't really a fastball anymore.
Right. But, and you won the Emmy, though. Were you expecting that? Because, you know, you'd been through this before, and all of a sudden you won.
And there was a time that you nominated yourself. And for several years there, I didn't want to go through it. So I didn't nominate myself. So, and I said then, the kind of stuff I do, it doesn't win prizes. That's all right. I've had a great life.
Yeah. Where is your Emmy? I don't see it in this room.
The Emmy, it's in the other room.
Okay. I don't need to see it. I would like to know where you have it.
Oh, good. Despite my wife's attempts to hide it. So.
Now, with The Big Bang Theory, when you watched it just for yourself, could you tell right away that there was something special happening there? Because obviously audiences love the show. They still love the show.
Oh, sure. Yeah, because... Well, the gym was so marvelous. It was such a wonderful cast. We like the Mary Tyler Moore Show and our show. The casting was wonderful, and the writing. I mean, as a writer, the writing really was what caught my eye. Because after a while, you kind of know the joke that's coming, And I get surprised a lot.
Yeah.
And, I say, I'd like to do this.
Well, and they made a really nice connection between Arthur, Professor Proton, and Sheldon, because we knew Sheldon was a childhood hero of his and all of that. How was it working with Jim Parsons? And did you feel like that same kind
of
spark?
Well, it was Jim and it was also Johnny.
Right. Galecki. Johnny Galecki,
As kids, they had watched what I guess would have been the Don, was it Don Herbert? I think that's the one that's the science show I used to watch.
Okay.
and I was kind of semi-retired, and I would do these shows, and there'd be a bunch of kids there, And so I got this request to appear at to meet Jim about an appearance, and I was expecting a bunch of kids, and it was a show for he and Johnny. That was and it was wonderfully written. And then Chuck I guess I did a couple more, and then he killed me off.
I know. I was going to ask you, like, were you a little nervous when you found out that he was going to die? Because you thought, oh, that's the end of my...
Well, my father-in-law had been in radio, and he had told me stories about they always got nervous when they had a cough. You know, is that how they write me out of this thing? And he told my wife, Jenny, he said, this way we can have Bob back more.
Yeah.
Obi-Wan.
Yeah. That was a good twist that they put him in the robes and everything.
Yeah.
What can you say about the appearance that's coming up? Can you, I don't want to get spoiler stuff, but I assume you're a dream or a vision
for
Sheldon.
Well, I think, I'm in his imagination. Mm-hmm. I don't actually exist. So he comes to me. Because they have their first fight.
Oh, he and Amy.
Annie.
Okay.
And so he comes to me and he wants to know how do you handle it, and I give him my advice. There's two rules. I said the first rule is in marriage is never go to bed angry. And then the second rule is if you look down and you find a pair of shoes under the bed and they're not, and you don't recognize them, it's because they're not your shoes. So he doesn't quite understand that. I said, just go with the first one. So anyway, that's basically the plot.
That's great. I totally said, because I mean, that relationship on that show is so fun, the Amy and Sheldon relationship, because they're still, because in some ways they're like young kids because they're so nerdy. They don't, like, he doesn't know how to fight with somebody or how you deal with that. That's great. Do you ever go back and watch your old shows? Because they do stare air at Dick. Do you watch Bob Newhart and those?
I don't go out of my way, but if I do, because there's 300, I think, all together. I think between the Bob Newhart show and Newhart. And it's funny because sometimes, I'll see it. It's on Decades or it's on Hulu. Mm-hmm. And I'll just happen to have it on watching something else. And sometimes I'll sit down and my wife Jenny will say, oh, you're watching the old show? I said, yeah. I don't remember how this ended.
When you do 300, it would be hard to. No matter, I think, any age, you wouldn't remember every single plot.
I know I'm in it. I can see I'm in it, but I don't remember the script.
Well, last question, really. Is there anything left on your bucket list? You've done a little of everything in your career, but is there anything that you still would like to do either in your career or even just in life that you haven't done?
Well, in life, I'd like to keep breathing.
Mm-hmm. That'd be good.
That's number one on the bucket list. No, you know, just enjoy my friends, enjoy my family, and it's I've had a great career, and people come up, you know, I still do stand up, not as much as I used to, but I still do stand up where I started, and people, you'll be on a plane and people will say, you know, thank you for, and they'll say, like, well, you know, I used to watch it with my mother. I used to watch it with my dad. And, you know, you become part of someone's life. And that's very special.
Yeah.
That's a very special thing, too.
Yeah.
And they'll say, thank you for all the laughs. And I'll say, well, I enjoyed it, too.
Yeah. Oh, that's great.
I mean, it's been a great life, and it's a long way from over.
Yeah, well, that's great. Well, it's great that you're still working. You're still out there, like I see you in the Big Bang. You do other things.
Yeah, I know. Jenny was saying to me, this is a couple months ago. She said, you're going nuts, aren't you? I said, yeah, I'm going crazy. She said, you want to go back to stand-up? I said, yeah, I want to go back.
She knew.
She could tell, yeah.
Do you think comedy itself has changed much?
Oh, there's no question it's changed.
Yeah.
The areas that are being dealt with today, we never could have dealt with. I mean, one of the unique things they always said about the Bob Newhart show was that Susie and I slept in the same bed.
Yeah.
And until this, that had never happened before.
That was a big deal back then.
Even Dick Van Dyke and Mary, it was twin beds.
Yeah.
And, so there's no question that the material and just there are so many shows and there are only so many writers and there are only so many good writers.
Yeah.
And it's changed. There's no question. No question about it. Because Jenny and I will be watching a show and I'll say, oh, you can use that word now.
That surprises me, and I watch a lot of TV for work, but
right.
I'm like, oh, that one passes now, whereas 5 years ago you couldn't say that. But yeah, it's funny to see how what passes now.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, where will you watch The Big Bang Theory when it airs, your episode? Do you watch it live?
Oh, sure.
I think everybody will. All right. Well, thank you for the chat.
Thank you.
It was lovely. Enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
It's been a great experience. It's a wonderful show. I hate to see it end, but I can understand. I did Newhart for 8 years, and I know, it's not a grind, but you say, like, didn't we do that show? And they said, no, that was a dog. This is a cat, And it's a tough decision. I know I talked to Chuck shortly before Jim made his decision, and that's a tough thing to just say that I don't want to do this anymore.
Especially when it's still doing so well. It's still at the top of the ratings
and
every week.
A lot of people, and my God, the major people in the cast are getting $1 million a show. That's tough to walk away from.
Well, hopefully you'll get back one more time at least before the series wraps up. And this is still early in the season, but I'll keep my fingers crossed for you.
Thank you,
Jim. All right. Thanks, Bob. And that's a wrap on my chat with Bob Newhart. I'm still a little giddy that I was able to actually sit down with him for so long and have such a great chat with a TV legend like that. So thanks to him and thanks to his team for making that happen. And thank you for joining us for another edition of TV Babble. We'll be back in 2 weeks to talk about more TV and help you choose what you should be making time for and what you're okay skipping. Thank you to our producer, Lori Perna. And remember to subscribe to the TV Babble podcast so you don't miss a single episode. And also follow us on social media everywhere. Until next time, keep babbling.